have hospitals where you assign medical students to them, and then one hospital will usually take in multiple students, right? It's one to many and change. And also when you assign children to schools, again, one school will take in multiple children, right? So in this case, what is stable, or what is the unstable pair? So basically it's a pair XY, where X is a school, Y is a student, and then this student is not admitted to this school. And the school likes Y to one of its currently assigned students. Okay? The school likes Y better than one of its current assigned students. And then the student likes X, school X, more than its current school. Alright? And then basically X has incentive to take Y in. Y also has incentive to join X. Right? This is an unstable pair. Right? Similar. And then again, here, using Gale-Shapley deferred acceptance algorithm, after slightly adjusting the algorithm, can be used to produce a stable matching pair. Alright, so this is one extension. And then sometimes there may be the so-called unacceptable pairs. So what is that? Now, unacceptable pairs means some hospital students, they find each other unacceptable. So even if you take me, I will not go to your place. Alright? Okay? Now, this one will extend to the problem with unequal slots on both sides. So because just now we say you have the same number of men and women, right? But if you do not have the same number of men and women, you can purposely add some slot on one side to make them equal. And this artificial slot is unacceptable for any people on the other side. Right? It's the same. It's just that, for example, man is more than women, and then you add some slot on the woman's side, right? But those slots are virtual, right? Artificial. So man, any man with that slot is unacceptable, right? Because they are virtual. They are not real women. It's just a virtual thing, right? So this unacceptable pair can help us to solve the problem when the men and women do not have the same size, right? Okay? And then again, you have an unstable pair like this. So if the student Y is not admitted to the school X, then if Y and X find each other acceptable, at the same time, X has a free slot, or prefer Y to one of its current students, and then Y is unmatched, or like X better than current school. So if all conditions are satisfied, we say it's an unstable pair, right? And then using Gale-Shapley algorithm, slightly changing it, it will still work for this setting. Alright, now next is about indifference. Okay, what is indifference? Indifference means the preference has ties, right? I like one and two equally, equal, it means the same to me. Alright? Okay, so one example here it's not a local example, it's probably a special example. So we can say that there are some schools which belongs to so-called COE, alright? And they will partition the students into eight groups according to their preferences. The first one, whether they live in the so-called catchment area, if you consider whether they live in an expensive area. Well, may not be that, okay? So basically, special area, right? Whether they live in a special area. Second, whether they have a sibling in the school, alright? Third, whether they belong to the same system as the CO2, okay? Alright? So students in the same category, which means their CA value is same, S value is same, and in COE, okay? Now every student belongs to the first group. The school has no other preference among them. It will not look at who has a better grade. No. Okay? I only care about these three factors. Okay? As long as two children have the same value for these three factors, then I treat them the same. Okay? I consider them the same. No preference among them. Alright? So this is so-called indifference. Alright? Okay, so in this case, we use the so-called weak stability. Okay, what is weak stability? Whenever we say some concept is weak, that means we require the deviating pair to deviate a lot. Because now we have indifference, so we require unstable pair to strictly like each other. Okay, compared to the current partner. Because now, because there's a difference, it could be possible that one party likes this one strictly better, but this one considers that side safe, right? So this pair, we do not consider them as blocking, as an unstable pair, okay? We require both directions to strictly like each other over their current partner, alright? Okay, so you see that when we require the deviating pair to be more strict, right? And this concept usually is weaker, right? This concept is weaker. So if you recall, when we define the Pareto dominance, you will see this. We have weak Pareto optimal and Pareto optimal, right? In weak Pareto optimal, we require the dominating pair to strictly dominate in every dimension. Remember? Okay, so that's the one thing. Okay, so in this scenario, Gay-Shapley algorithm will still work after some adjustment. Right? Even with indifference, it's still okay. You see that the algorithm itself is quite strong, right? It's quite strong. Okay, so now let's come to the question of this matching, the resulting matching. Is it good for men or women, right? But before we answer that question, let's first see some other properties of that result matching, okay? Now, one thing in general, if I give you an instance, there could be multiple stable matching, right? That's very likely, okay? For example, here, you have one thing, the two tables, and actually, in this instance, there are two stable matchings. One is Ian, Amy, John, Bella, Kyle, Claire. The other one is Ian, Bella, John, Amy, Kyle, Claire. Alright? The reason you have two stable matching, you see, even though these two men get the second choice, but for these two women, they got their first choice. Right? Okay? So it's still stable. Right? So when you have multiple stable matching, you will wonder, Gay-Shapley algorithm will return us some matching, right? Now, the first question is, whenever you run the Gay-Shapley algorithm, does it always give you the same matching? Yes, right, because it's a deterministic algorithm, right? Oh, sorry, my bad, it's not deterministic. You choose, man. In arbitrary order, right? Because when you have 100 men possible to propose, you pick some of them, right? You pick some of them. Anyone is possible. But surprisingly, no matter which one you pick, in which round, it always gives you the same matching in the end. That's also some miracle thing that happens in stable matching problem. Because although, right, the algorithm seems deterministic, but actually not, because it has many, many choices in the middle, right? So then while there is a man not matched, let him propose. But this him, you have multiple choices, right? Okay? So the algorithm actually will follow many different paths. But no matter which path it follows, it gives you the same matching. Alright? And then, this matching is independent of the order men propose. So that's actually very, very surprising. And we are going to show this one matching, fixed matching, it belongs to some category, right? Now, which we call. Now, I'm not calling the name now, because if I call the name, you will know the answer, right? Okay, so let's first define a related concept called valid partner, right? What is valid partner? We say a woman is a valid partner of a man if there exists exist a stable matching where this man and woman is a pair. Is it easy? So there exists one stable matching where this man is matched to this woman. And then we say this woman is a valid partner of this man. And we also say this man is a valid partner of that woman. Okay? And now we see, because we have multiple stable matchings, so for one man, he can have multiple valid partners, right? Okay? Then, Gale Sharpe algorithm will give you a stable matching where this man is matched to some valid partner. So now comes the answer, alright? Some valid partner, because among valid partners, the man has a preference, right? Likes this one better than this one, better than this one, right? So which one is it? This man is matched to the best one or the worst one? If man is matched to the best one, then that means the final result is very good for the man, right? Okay, if man is matched to the worst one, then that means the final result is very bad for the man, right? Okay? Alright. So, here again, two stable matchings. Right? You see Amy and Bella. Both Amy and Bella are valid partners for Ian and John, right? And then Claire is only a valid partner of Kay, right? Because there are only two valid matchings. So I is valid partner, AB. J is valid partner, also AB. K's valid partner is just C, right? Okay. So now is the answer, alright? Man optimal matchings. So this is the matching Gale Sharpe algorithm will give you. Alright. In other words, Gale Sharpe algorithm will give you a matching which is very good for men. Alright? Which is minority just now. I only saw one hand here choosing is good for men, right? But because well there's some kind of intuition that the blocks your thinking that man is optimal because you see woman's offer is always upgrading, right? Because we say woman can always replace the current partner by a new one, right? Okay? So you see that the offer of woman keep improving. The offer of man keep upgrading because although he was accepted by the first choice early, but the first choice will reject him later on, right? Because they have better partner. So that offer decreases, or downgrades. How come the man is still optimal, right? That's very, very counterintuitive. But on the other hand, you can think, maybe because woman is passive in this algorithm, right? They cannot voluntarily choose partners. They only passively accept proposals. But men propose in the order of preference from top to down, right? So this is man's advantage. Now, let's see, mathematically, alright? How to prove the Gale Sharpe algorithm will give you man optimal matching. Right? Now, first of all, let's define what is man optimal matching. In man optimal matching, every man receives its best valid partner. Alright? Remember what is valid partner? Some partner that may appear in some stable matching. Right? As long as this woman can appear in one stable matching, right, with this man, this woman is a valid partner, right? So among all the valid partners, the man is matched to the best valid partner, right? So we are going to show this. Okay. So now, this man optimal matching, right? It is a perfect matching. And it is also stable because man optimal. But so of course we need some time effort to prove these two. But I think that I'm gonna do it here. Alright? Now these should can be shown. Alright, can be shown. Okay. Now man optimal matching. Ian matched Amy, John matched Bella, right? And then Kyle matched Claire. This is the man optimal. Right? Okay. Well, so next, let's show this man optimal matching. they are going to prove it by contradiction. How to do it? Now, contradiction says, if some man is not matched to the best valid partner, then what happens? Right? And suppose? Now, well, if man is not matched to the valid partner, best valid partner, it must be the case that this man is rejected by some valid partner. Because man proposes in order, right? So when he proposes to somebody who is his best valid partner, then she must reject this man immediately or at some later round, right? Okay, this must happen. Otherwise, this man will not be not matched to that person, right? Okay, so some man must be rejected by a valid partner. And then there is a very interesting trick here. We consider the first time in the algorithm when this happens. This is very important. And also in the last hour, there will be some bonus questions. This lecture, all the bonus questions are in this last session. Okay? So pay full attention to the proof. Okay. Now, we use why to represent the man rejected at this point of time. Okay, why is the unlucky person, the first unlucky person, rejected by a valid partner? Alright? Okay, and Nepali is the woman who rejects him at this point. Alright, now we have two people, right? Y and A. And then A rejects Y because she sees a better man, C. Alright? Okay, well, so let's use S to represent the stable matching with Y A in S. So, use this figure instead. So, because A is a valid partner of Y, right? Okay? So there must be one stable matching where A and Y, they match together, right? Okay? We call S such a stable matching. And then we assume Z, its partner in S, is B. Okay? So this is the picture. And now, you have one information here, which is A likes Z better than Y. That's why A rejects Y and takes Z's offer, right? Okay? Good. Now the question is, we somehow want to show Z likes A better, and then it will be an unstable pair, and it will contradict with the stable matching. Alright? Because this is stable matching, right? You know, right? This is stable matching. And then we can show Z prefer A better than B. And then Z and A, they form an unstable pair. And this matching is no longer stable. Then contradiction, right? Okay? So can we show that? Now first thing, first bonus question is this. We claim at time t, Z has not been rejected by B. Why is that? This claim seems to be a very strange claim, because we never say anything about when does B reject Z, or when does Z propose to B. The only thing we know is now Z is proposing to A, and then making A reject it, reject Y, right? Okay? So at the current moment, Z proposed to A, and then we want to show, actually, at this time, Z has not yet been rejected by B, which means, which can give us a conclusion, actually Z didn't propose to B yet. Okay? So why? Z has not been rejected by B. have a slide in your hand, right? So if you spot any hint, that will help you to make this conclusion. Who's that? Save for the AFP, but I didn't say that. I didn't say that yet, right? That's the conclusion we want to draw. It's somewhere here, okay? Z prefer A to B is somewhere here, alright? Not yet arriving. S is a stable matching. But S is stable matching, why Z has not been rejected by B?
B is a valid
partner. Yeah, B is a valid partner. So what? And then?
Some man
he's rejected by a bad partner. Okay? Because we assume this, so there's a contradiction. Then what's the opposite? What can we know? Look at that. No man is rejected by any valid partner, right? Is that right? So if no man is rejected by any valid partner, then does it mean every man is matched to the top valid partner in the preference list? Yes, right? So every man gets the best valid partner among all the valid partners, right? So now we finish the proof of man optimal measurement. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes to discuss, to digest what I just said. We can discuss. So now we come back to the 2 questions here, right? Previously I say, these are very difficult to prove, then you can think about it. Well, actually, after you prove that Gay-Lussac algorithm gives you a man-optimal matching, then these 2 questions already solved, right? On one hand, it is a perfect matching. On the other hand, it is stable because we show Gay-Lussac algorithm will give you a stable matching. And then at the same time, we prove it is a man-optimal matching, right? Okay, so everything perfectly addressed, right? Okay? Now, next. You may say, man optimal matching good, it's good for men. But can I show it's very bad for women? It may not be true, right? Because it could be the case that both men and women are very good, right? But for this case, alright, the stable matching problem, if you allow men to propose first, and then it will be women passive minority. Okay? So basically, every woman will get her worst valid partner. Right? Remember, men get his best valid partner, and oppositely, every woman gets his worst valid partner. And now we are going to show why it is correct. Okay? So the proof is easy given our results for man optimal matching. Okay? Now we suppose under this algorithm, A, woman A is matched to man Z, but Z is not the worst bad partner. Okay? Assume woman A gets lucky, alright? Gets some better partner. Then let me show the figure, alright? Show the figure. So assume that A gets Y, not Y is worst, right? Z is not worst. In the Gay-Lussac algorithm, you get Z. But the worst partner is Y. Alright? Okay? So, definitely, because Y is worst, so A prefers Z to Y. Okay? Z is better than A. Right? And then, because Y is is valid partner. So again, there is one stable matching where A is matched to Y, and then this Z must be matched to somebody, right? So again, we assume this Z is matched to B. Alright, matched to B. Okay, now we know A prefers Z to Y, so we only need to show Z also prefers A to B, then it's unstable, and then contradicting the fact that it is a stable matching, right? Okay, so how do we show Z prefer A to B? Well, so the reason is very simple. Because what? Because it's a man-optimal matching. Alright? Remember? In this matching, A is matched to Z, right? Okay, because it's man-optimal, so in the eye of Z, A must be the best among all the stable partners, right? So Z likes A better than B, for sure. Okay, so now you see a contribution, right? Just use the result that for Z, its partner is best, right? Best better partner. So Z likes A more, right? Z likes A better than B. Now this is the contradiction. That means, that's the end, okay? So that means it is the women pessimistic solution, right? Okay, now this part seems easy, right? Okay, so we have another bonus question. This bonus question is very difficult to get, okay? Do you know that we still have 16 minutes before we finish the session? Am I going to let you leave now? Oh, this is not a bonus question, sorry. This is a yes or no question. For sure, you will answer me no, because if I allow you to leave early, it's illegal, right? Okay? So, why am I taking you so long? Bonus question. What am I going to talk about? Now, remember, it's not talking about the... Because earlier we have one question, which I already explained a bit, about the tree, the code blocks, the path, right? So I already explained that problem, just that I didn't explain some solutions yet, but that's not important. I probably will not go deeper into that. But there's some other thing I'm going to explain. What is that? Oh! I cannot say the term, right? So it's like, oh, no, of course. This is not the technical component I'm going to talk about. I'm only just trying to clarify that next week we move the Monday lecture to Thursday to the midterm. So Monday we will have no class for the afternoon. I mean, all right. But that's not technical component. We are going to talk about some technical component. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do something here, right? Before I show you the thing, if you tell me the answer, you still get the bonus.
Yeah.
give this bonus. Very anxiously want to give the bonus. From this page, you didn't see anything strange. I don't have 5.2. Ah, okay, 3.
Only 13 is Wikipedia.
Oh, this is a special statement. That's not mean what I'm going to talk about, right? Okay, so I guess that, let's see. There's a 5.3. Why 5.3? It's supposed to happen after week 5. I never touched that before. Alright? So I'm going to touch it now. That's the only thing that does not belong to normal weeks, but it has a label 5 point something, which means it should follow right after the game theory introductory slide, because that slide is called 5, right? Okay, 5.3. Alright, but of course, I'm not going to finish there. Everything in the slide, I'm going to introduce briefly the problem, okay? Now, the title is defending with shared resource on a network. Okay? So it's a, how to say, it combines game theory with the algorithms. Alright? What do I mean by this? Well, it means that although it looks like a game, but actually it's an optimization problem. Alright? Why is it a game? Well, because we have so called attacker and defender. Alright? So they have strategies and they will play with each other. Alright? Defender wants to prevent attacker to get a lot of value from the network. Okay? Attacker wants to get more. So basically it's a game. But at the same time, it's an optimization problem. That's why I would like to explain this right after we have some knowledge about game theory, but also we have knowledge about the algorithms, right? Approximation algorithm or some dynamic greedy algorithm, right? Dynamic programming greedy algorithm. Okay, so what's this problem? So this problem actually is very interesting. Every node, U, in the graph has a treasure, alright? Certain value, alright? And then every node, you can give it certain resource called defending resource. You give node U, RU amount of defending resource. Okay? Up to now, nothing special. Right? You have value, you have resource on every node, you can allocate. An attacker can attack nodes, but can only attack one node. Alright? Now the interesting thing here is the following. So let me go to the next page first. So the interesting thing here is, of course let me introduce this one first. So you have some way to compute the defending power of a node. Defending power is equal to this node's resource plus neighbor's shareable resource. So basically, when certain node is attacked, then its neighbors can help this node. Alright? But they cannot give all the resource to this node, they only give partial resource to this node. For example, they say, I'm going to give 50% resource to this node. Right? This person says, I'm going to give 10% of my resource to this person, to this node. So basically, every node with its own resource together with the neighbor's contribution, right? Now he has aggregated. Say, okay, now this is my so-called defending power. Alright? Okay, so now between attacker and defender, they will compare. Alright? If attacker attacks some node whose defending power is higher than upper bound, then attacker gets zero. Alright? Very natural, right? If a defender, then the node is very strong, right? Attacker attacks, then it fails. Capture, right? Now if it attacks a very weak node whose defending power is below lower bound, alright? And then the attacker will just get the full amount of value from that node. If the node has $1 million, the attacker gets $1 million. Alright? So these two extremes, they are quite easy to understand. Then the only thing that makes the problem very interesting is the middle range. Okay, to the middle range here. So if an attacker attacks a node whose defending power is between lower bound and upper bound, then what happens? Well, first of all, you can imagine the attacker cannot get all the value. That's not possible, right? Because you have have enough time to get everything, right? So the attacker will only get part of the value and try to escape. Alright? Okay? Now, when this attacker escapes, now because defender is also relatively strong, so attacker and defender, they will fight each other, the attacker must lose some power for sure, right? No matter what kind of power, alright? Anyway, the attacker will be weaker after the combat, right? And then the attacker will try to escape to some neighbor nodes in the graph. Alright? If the attacker manages to find one neighbor which is very weak, okay, then attacker escape to that node and escape via a helicopter. Alright? Get it? If this attacker cannot find any neighbor which is very weak, then the attacker will be captured in one of the nodes. Alright? So, what do we mean by very weak? Very weak means if any power below this low bound. So, if one neighbor below this low bound, then the attacker will lose everything. He will not get anything. Right? This is zero here. So, if, oh, sorry, my bad. If one of the neighbors is very weak, right? And then the attacker will get GU prime, part of the value of node U. Okay? Now, if every neighbor is somewhere above the low bound, and then the attacker cannot escape anywhere. If escape, it also will be captured because he does not have sufficient power to attack the defender anymore. Alright? Okay? So in that case, he will get zero. If no neighbor, alright? If no neighbor is very weak, then attacker gets zero. Alright? So this is the problem setup. Any question? Now I'm going to use one example to tell you how we calculate it, right? So suppose we have six nodes here, and then we have resources 2, 1, 2, 1, 4, 1, okay? And then suppose the W is half, which means you can give half your resource to a neighbor to increase the power, right? But this resource is so-called shareable. After you share your resource, you still have this resource, okay? Alright? So that means you can compute the power like this. For example, for this node, resources 2, neighbor resources 1 plus 1, plus 4, right? 1, 4, 1, altogether 6. 6 multiplying half is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. So you can compute the power of this node is 5, right? And then you can use similar way to compute the power of these nodes are this, right? Okay? And then I will go on. Right, suppose this lower bound and the upper bound is 4 and 6 respectively, and treasure is 2, partial treasure is 1. Okay? And then you can see that actually, if you attack node 6, because the power is 2, below 4, so this belongs to very weak node, right? So attack this person, he will get value of 2, he will get all the value, right? Now if you attack 3, because 3 power is 5 between 4 and 6, so it's a median level node. So 3 can escape, right? So if the attacker attacks this node, he can escape. And then there happens to be a very weak neighbor. So he can escape from here and then take the helicopter, right? Okay? So doing this will give the attacker value 1, G prime. Okay? So that's why attacker attacks 3, you can get 1. Now, if attacker attacks these nodes, for example, this node. Now, you see, this node is relatively okay, right? 4 is between 4 and 6. Okay? And all its neighbors, they are relatively okay. 5, 7, okay? So they are pretty good, pretty well defended, right? So attacker attacking this, he cannot escape. Right? Escape here, no use. Escape here, no use. So attacker attacking this node will get zero value. Alright? Okay, so this is about a real example where, you know, attacking different nodes. Attacker can get different values. And what's the goal of the defender? The defender's goal is to allocate resources in such a way that the largest value among these nodes is as small as possible. Because the defender wants to reduce the loss, right? So attacker, when he sees these figures, definitely will attack this node, right? Because that's the most value he can get. But for defender, he try to minimize that loss, right? So defendants want to construct the resource allocation such that the largest correct number is as small as possible. Okay? Yeah, so this is the problem. And actually there are different versions of the problem, like a single threshold model where lower bound and upper bound, they are the same. Okay? And then there are also isolated models where you cannot share the resource. Okay, W is zero. They are not willing to share. Alright? Okay, so if you're interested, you can check that paper to see the details. I'm not going to talk about the methodology here. The only thing I'm going to let you know is that this paper, I like it a lot. The reason is, first of all, the model looks interesting. Second, the algorithms used to solve this problem, they are very, how to say, fundamental, or put it this way, simple. Okay? Basically, what we use is greedy algorithm, first one. Second one, flow, network flow. Okay, remember there's a max flow algorithm in the network, so we just use the flow, but we do a very nice mapping between the problem and the flow problem. Okay? So in the end, we show some behind-the-scenes proof. There's a reduction showing there's a difficult problem here, and then you use this problem to reduce to the defending problem, and showing the defending problem is hard. And then in the end, we have some rounding technique. Okay? So we have a linear program, or integer linear program formulation, and then you relax the integer linear program formulation to linear program, and have some solution. And after you have some solution, you do rounding. Okay? Rounding means when you value 0.5 and above, I round you up to 1. Okay? If you are less than 0.5, I round you down to 0. And if I do this, then I can use Apple's double resource to achieve the same effect as the optimal solution can do. Okay? So basically it's a so-called resource augmentation setting where optimal solution can only use R resource. And your solution, I'm allowing you to use 2R resource. I'm asking you, can you achieve the defending result as good as optimal solution here? So basically you are doing some unfair comparison, right? Optimal solution is using one copy of resource, but you are using two copies of resource. Okay? So can you do as good as optimal? Because we said the problem itself is a bit hard, right? So using the same amount of resource, you definitely cannot do as good as optimal solution. That's not possible. So I'm asking, well, can you do better? Or can you do as good as optimal? Try to allow you to use more resource. Alright? Okay. So that's why I say I like this paper a lot, because it integrates a lot of classic algorithmic approaches into one single problem. Okay? Well, so today I think I just stop here. And next week, my TA will come here. I will not come here. Remember, there are two rooms for the midterm exam. Please sit. Please do not sit next to each other. Right? You have to leave one seat empty in the middle. Alright? Okay? Yeah, so yeah, one TA taking care of one room. Alright? Okay, and also, I will ask my TA to arrive here a bit earlier so that we can do Q&A. You can ask her questions before the quiz. Alright? Something like after lunch, like 12 o'clock, 12 to 1:30, something like that. I will let my TA come to this room a bit earlier. Alright? Okay.